Hello and welcome to week three of Live Your Dreams. My name is Liz Jansen, and in this module we're going to be doing some shadow work, being able to identify our shadows and leveraging those. Before we start, I would like to do the visioning exercise that we started doing last week. It's just to get your mind free of clutter and distractions and to prepare yourself to be receptive to the learning that we're going to be doing in the next little while. Close your eyes and take some deep, slow, conscious breaths. Take some deep breaths in through your nose. Hold them and then exhale. As you exhale, get rid of the thoughts, the clutter, everything that you've been doing today, the things that you're thinking about tomorrow, free your mind of all of those things. Continue taking those deep breaths, relaxing as you do so. Find that place of power. Usually it's in your solar plexus, and imagine it there. This is where your strength is. And this is what you're going to be working from, a place of strength, a place of empowerment. Feel that strength as you feel it move through your whole body, ready to help you with the work that you're going to be doing. Know that you've got a unique skill set, a unique purpose here that only you can fill. And everything you've done up to this point has prepared you for what you're about to do and to help you live your dream. Accept that the universe wants you to succeed and is here to help. Take a few more breaths and know that you're going to begin living as if it's already happening. Your dream is coming true, because it is. So far in Live Your Dreams, we've been talking about getting your bearings. So in week one and two, week one we talked about your values and then defining your dream and defining your current reality. Last week, it was about looking at what your strengths were, identifying those. This week, to finish off the getting your bearings, we're going to be looking at what your shadows are and how you can leverage those for strengths. And that will prepare the foundation on which we're going to build everything else that's going to get you to live your dreams. Week three, this module is focused on identifying your shadows. The objectives are to understand the concept of the shadow self. Bear in mind, there's lots of information on this. I'm going to be skimming the surface and just pulling out some highlights for you. I'll give you some references too if you want to do more work in this. We'll have enough information though that you can do the work that you need to do and to use it, because this is something that you want to be using to live your dreams. The reason why we want to talk about the shadow self is because being able to identify that is looking at the factors which prevent you from being successful at doing what you want to do. So understand the concept of the shadow, identify what your shadows are, and talk about how you can do that. Then we'll talk about how you can leverage your shadows and make them assets for you. The whole idea is to change how you respond to familiar patterns that you have, the ones that you're comfortable with, even though they're not always the most favorable ones and they don't lead you to the most favorable outcomes. Who's in charge? Who's driving the bus in your life? We use our conscious brain 5% of the time. Our conscious brain is where our creativity resides. It's where we have our identity, the wishes, the desires, our aspirations. That's all in our conscious mind, and that's in the present. However, 95% of the time, our subconscious is in control. We acquire who we are from what other people have told us that we are. Comments that parents have made, well-intentioned, teachers, and particularly up to the age of 7, we're very open to this, and we're like a fertile field. We're receiving all these comments. And the cultural training that we receive, the comments that people tell us, the words they use, how they use it, those are programmed into our subconscious, and those tapes keep playing for the rest of our life. They stay with us the whole time. Some of those things work to our favor, some of those work to our disfavor, and we'll talk about those in a bit. The way to stay conscious is to stay in the present moment. Where the subconscious comes in is when we are either embedded in the past and all that's happened to us, or we are worrying about the future. The tapes that play, they're based on opinions from other people, and they're not really ourself at all. So we become who other people have told us we are, not who we really are. If you're interested in learning more about this, much of the work that Dr. Bruce Lipton has done, he's been a medical school professor and a researcher, and he now brings together the science and the biology together with the spirituality. It's a fascinating read. If you get a chance, do that. The triangle of disempowerment is something that we can fall into easily when our shadow takes over. When we're in the middle of this, we're surrounded by either victim, perpetrator, or rescuer roles. And we take on these roles unknowingly. Our subconscious takes over and puts us into one of those roles. And we do it without realizing, and oftentimes, again, with the best intentions. But we catch ourselves because this is a toxic situation for us. And when we find ourselves in these roles, then we need to step back and look at what we're doing and catch ourselves. And the best way to stay out of this triangle of disempowerment is to be non-attached to the outcome and not take things personally. Let me explain a bit about what these three roles are. We can move between these roles very easily. And so a victim, when you're a victim, it's, oh, poor me, right? Look at what's happening to me. I can't live my dream because I can't afford it, or I've got other family obligations. Whatever the other reasons are, you can't do things in your life, or why people should feel sorry for you. Some people love to be rescuers too. We all know who these people are when you see them, because they want to step in and help people and rescue them. When you're rescuing somebody, you're stepping over the boundary of what they should be doing and what you should be doing and trying to do their work for them. And it's disempowering for you because you're giving away your energy to something that isn't your role to play. We all will be perpetrators at different times too. You become a perpetrator through gossip, through trying to instigate other people, or the words that you say or the behaviors. Even ignoring people sometimes can be a perpetrator. We move between these three roles. Some are more favored than others with us, and you will recognize different people in your life who like to play these roles. When you see yourself in these roles, it's important to catch yourself and to move away from that. As the label says, it is a triangle of disempowerment. The reason being, you're not working from your own place of power here. You're depending on somebody else. As a victim, you're depending on somebody else to feel sorry for, and that's where you're getting, you know, your feeling of worth from, because somebody's looking at you and taking pity on you and reaching out to help you. As a rescuer, you're reinforcing who you are because of what you're doing for somebody else, not because it's the right thing for you to do, but because you are, you're sacrificing yourself for somebody else, and you're doing it with the wrong intent. Again, giving away your power. And as a perpetrator, you're being an instigator here. And in all of these situations, you need somebody else to get the recognition for those roles. And that's why it's disempowering. when you see others as good or bad, that's when you're the most vulnerable. That's when you're meeting your own shadow. We talked last week about, you know, seeing the good in others. This week we're talking more about seeing things that are not so favorable in others, and, you know, label them good or bad, however you want to label them. But this is when you are the most vulnerable for being disempowered and for having your shadow self take over. If you want to read more about this, read The Four Insights by Dr. Alberto Viotto. So what is your shadow? It's a term that was coined by Carl Jung, and he calls it the person you'd rather not be. These are the parts of ourselves that we'd rather not show to other people, that we keep hidden. That's why they're shadows. And he believed that you can only see yourself through other people. You can't see it through yourself. So when you want to define this shadow, it's really those aspects of self that we keep hidden in the dark out of our awareness. And as I've talked about before, many of these aspects have great holds on us, and we don't even realize that they're there, but they're dictating our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, and our actions. They're actually in control much of the time, when, especially when we're not in the present, especially when we're looking at other people. They include our deepest fears. You know, what is it that we're afraid of? Maybe it's personal insecurity. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's that we're not worthy enough. Maybe it's that we're going to fail, or fear of being successful. It's shames, things that we've done in our past that we're ashamed of, things that we wish we would have done and we didn't do, regrets. Anytime we're judging, whether we're judging ourselves or whether we're judging another person, those are times when our shadow is very willing to step in and help us form an opinion. It can include our core beliefs too. These are the beliefs about who we are, what we're capable of, and what we're here for, what we can do and what we can't do. They're really the unconscious contracts, the vows we've taken without even knowing it. You know, I'll never do this again, we say when we're young. And that sticks with us. I'll never be like, you know, my mother was. I don't want to be that person that she is. Or I'll never, you know, I'll never love again. These things that we say to ourselves. And these are unconscious contracts or vows that we make with ourselves and the truths we form about life, and we accept them as gospel. So the shadow really encompasses everything that you don't know that you don't know, if that makes sense. So all these things sit in our subconscious and they control our behavior without us even knowing it. We talked about projection last week, and these are the attributes we often deny in ourselves, but we see them in other people. Last week when we talked about it, it was about the positive attributes. So here we're talking about the shadow self. So when we see something we dislike, if there's a person we dislike, what is it about that person? That person is mirroring things back to us. We need to turn that around and face it ourselves and look at it. Now, once you own that, even once you accept that that's a shadow of yourself, it diffuses the energy that you have been giving it, and it gives you back energy that you have given away, not even to another person necessarily, but you've given it away to negative emotions and negative feelings. We learned last week that other people are your mirrors, and this is what we've just been talking about. Focus on what other people are trying to teach you, especially those people that really push your buttons. Why are they doing that? And what is it that you don't like about what you see? Then look at yourself, and it may not be exactly verbatim something that you do. Look for those tendencies, though. Look for how that is playing out in your life. What do you see in the mirror when you look in the mirror of other people? Who are your mirrors? You can probably think right away, I know I can, about who are the people that I just, you know, don't want to be around and I don't want to have anything to do with, or they just make you feel uncomfortable as soon as you're with them. What are they teaching you about yourself and about what your shadows are? We don't like to think that, you know, we like to think that we can like everybody and everybody is going to like us. That's not true. I heard once that up to, you know, 30% of people love you and adore you and, you know, want to, are your friends. Maybe there's only a small portion of those who really, really are in your close inner circle, but there's 30% of people who are really respond positively to you. Then there's another 30% that are neutral. It's like, well, I could take her, I could leave her. And then there's another third that really don't want to have anything to do with you or listen to what you have to say. That's okay. Accept that that's going to be there and don't take it personally. But these are people who can still be your mirrors and be teaching you things about yourself. Let's look now at identifying your shadow patterns. And the reason we're doing this is because later on we're going to talk about how we leverage these patterns to become your assets. And these are going to be part of your toolbox, your repertoire for making your dream come true. So there is a method to this as we go through here. Look for your patterns where your shadow has been active and has been controlling you and has been stopping you from living your fullest potential and doing the best that you can be. Even though it's probably simple that you've tried, you've done the best you can. You know in your heart of hearts that you could have done more, you could have done better. Take advantage of the challenging times and crises. Look for those times that were uncomfortable, that you didn't like, that where you didn't have the outcome that you really wanted, and look for what was going on there. That's where your shadow was active and keeping you, preventing you from going further. Usually it's a child in us. We all have a child in us, and we all need to have a child. We need to let that child have an expression. But when that child is seeking attention and looking for, sometimes looking for pity, then that is when, you know, we need to get that under control. But it needs to be heard, and it needs to, there's a lesson in there for us. So there's, with the different aspects of ourself, whether it's the child or the adult or the wise elder, all of these people, all of these roles that we have their place, but they need to be kept in balance. So if the child is telling you or screaming for attention, and you know, there's times when it needs to be heard and embraced, these are usually times when there's a shadow person, when you're going through a rough time, when there's times of change, and these are the difficult times. This is when you're going to find where your shadow was. When we look at these patterns, you're going to want to look at the deep-rooted reason behind these patterns. I'm going through this and telling you how to look for shadows, look for patterns. Keep in mind that this is a lifelong process. This will make you more aware, make you more cognizant of your shadows and where they are. That doesn't mean they're going to go away. That means you're more aware of them. And the more aware you become, the sooner you can catch them. You can catch yourself falling into those roles that don't work for you and catch yourself with those thoughts and beliefs about who you are and what you can do. That's the real important part. So it's not like it's going to go away and there's no magic switch that you can turn on to get rid of this. Being aware of it is the first step to, number one, disempowering it, and then number two, using that to for your benefit instead of having it keep you holding you back. So what you perceive as your faults, your negative patterns, or things you don't like about yourself are actually assets that you have. That's good news, don't you think? We need to just be able to turn that energy around and use those faults for an asset. We are always in school, though. It's my firm belief that we are here on Earth to be creative, to do a job, to fill a purpose, And while we're here, we're always in school. We're in Earth school. As long as we're here, there's lessons to be learned. The lessons get harder as we graduate from first grade, you know, and go through elementary school and then public school. And some of us are now maybe in university or we're doing postgraduate work, but the lessons get harder and harder all the time. As long as we're here, though, the lessons continue. Once we're finished with the lessons, it's time to go. So if you're still getting lessons and you're still recognizing that, that's a good thing. And that's a positive thing. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn and we're here to grow. Don't let it get to you if it's, you know, we feel like we keep learning the same lessons over and over again. Hopefully we don't have to repeat the patterns of the past. And we don't once we start recognizing how they're affecting us. When you see patterns, and I'll go through a few in a minute, think about, you know, what is my earliest memory of this pattern? What does that look like? Who's there? What other people are there? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it coworkers? What are the words that I've used, that they've used? If you look back to early memories, what are the early memories that people told you? What did your teacher tell you about yourself? What did your mom or your dad or your grandparents, other people who were who played a significant role in your life, what did they tell you about who you were? And what was this impact of the mental picture and these words on you? What have you carried? And this will take some thought. Sometimes now when you go back and if you still have the gift of having those elders around you and hear the words that they say or think about it, you'll be more aware of it. They may still be using some of those words. And it will help you as they come. You will recognize that when they say that. As you become more aware of these patterns, you will see how their words and their behaviors have affected you. What were the feelings that you had? And what conclusions did you draw about, you know, what you could be or should be or what you had or what you should do? Write these down, and through the exercises that you'll be doing, you'll begin to shed some light on your shadow. Remember, too, that the stronger the light, the stronger the shadow. This goes back to the school analogy that I was using, but the lessons do get harder. So as you progress, as you grow, the light gets stronger, your energy is stronger, but it also casts a shadow, and so some of the challenges that you have may be more difficult to work through. Write them down, look for the common ground, look for the similarities, look for the common threads, the underlying themes, the common words. You're not looking so much here for, although you're looking at a pattern, you're looking at a specific experience or an example, it's not a matter of getting too entrenched in the example. You're looking for the themes, the common ground, and you're looking for that as you compare things between different experiences that you've had in your life. As you do your work over the next week and give those back to me, I can help you, and if you have any questions as you're going through, of course I can help with that. I can help you identify the patterns, though, that you may not be able to see because you're too close to the picture. So please feel free to share those with me, and I can help you identify them. Because remember, we're using these for our advantage now. We're not looking to be hard on ourselves. We're looking to be objective and looking at the influences that have got us to where we are. Remember, everything that has happened so far in your life has got you to where you are. Has prepared you for what you're about to do. Here's an example for me on my shadow pattern. I was raised in a fairly strict culture. I was raised as a Mennonite, which is really a combination of religious training and culture. This is where the thoughts and beliefs that formed who I thought I was were imprinted in me. Although I went to a public elementary school, a lot of our family activity was really the larger Mennonite activity, and so it really revolved around the church and going to church quite a few times a week and church activities and all of that. So that was a very strong influence when I was growing up. When it came time to go to secondary school, I really didn't have a choice because I was being pressured into going to a secondary school that was run by the church. I wanted to go to another public secondary school. I was afraid, though, because of all the things I've been taught about the outside world and what would happen there and how I would fit in. And so although I didn't really want to go to this secondary school that was run by the church, that wasn't as strong as the fear of how I would fit in and how I would handle a public secondary school. So I went. I was pressured to go there. I lasted there 2 years, and then I refused to go back. I knew it wasn't for me, and it was just something that I couldn't deal with anymore. I was scared. Yes, I was scared, because now I'd been in this other environment for another 2 years. This was probably also about the time that, and it was, that the motorcycle came into my life. So this was the time, and I've written about this in my book, Women, Motorcycles, and the Road to Empowerment, but the motorcycle entered my life now because that was a vehicle that has stayed with me to this day and carried me through all these different life changes and helped me to become more aware of who I am. I digress a bit. Now, if we look at another pattern, so that was one pattern, a simple pattern, and it really went over a number of years. Then, but you see, these patterns don't just go away, because now it was time for post-secondary education, and that same pattern came back to me. I was expected to go into nursing, and I really wanted to go to university, but just as I was afraid to go to put myself in secondary school, in a public secondary school, I was afraid of university. I didn't know how I could handle it. I didn't know if I was smart enough, or it just seemed so foreign and so scary to me that I defaulted into nursing. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. There isn't. It just was not the role for me, and I took it because it was the easy way. So I did that, and I did well, and I enjoyed it. I graduated from nursing. And then when it came time to do a job, there's this pattern again. What do? I'm afraid of big city hospitals. I could have worked in one. But no, instead, I took a job. Jobs were hard to find at that time. And so I took a job because I got a full-time job in a chronic care hospital in the town where I lived. This job was not at all stimulating for me. And you can imagine, here I am, a young woman, and fresh out of school. I was just barely 20 years old, and I'm working in a chronic care hospital because I'm afraid to do anything else. I stayed there 1 year, and again, I finally got up. It takes me a while to learn things sometimes, but I stayed there, and I moved to a larger general hospital. And then I also began to realize that, you know, this nursing, this is not my calling. I had an opportunity to move into occupational health. And I started working in a steel plant in this role, and that opened up all kinds of doors for me. But I eventually did leave the nursing profession for other things. So that pattern was there for me. If we look at it, here, here's the shadow aspects that came into play. So the cultural expectations. I was ready to make the next move, to whether it was to go to secondary school or whether it was to go to a university or whether it was a job, there was cultural expectations that were playing this tape in my head, even though I was trying to put those in the background and trying to express myself. Those tapes were there playing about who I was and who I should be, and creating this lack of confidence. Here it's working that we're restless because our shadows are in control and our inner self, our inner strength, our spirit is begging us for attention. This is a shadow pattern, and this is what I'd like you to look at for yourself. So my shadows were the role expectations, based on expectations of what others thought I was or who I was or who I should be. And the idea is to turn it around and make it work for yourself. Take those strengths that are in that shadow and in the energy and use that as a strength. I had a fear of not fitting in or doing well, so I retracted. I pulled back. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to do well. I was afraid of sticking my neck out too far, though, so I could do well where, you know, I knew I could do well here if I didn't take many risks. Being accepting can be a positive thing, too. Accepting what's given to you, and then you take action to deal with that. But accepting and being passive and just allowing yourself, allowing things to steamroll you, is not a strength. That's when accepting can be a shadow. Now it's time for you to look at what your shadow patterns are. We did this with your strengths last time. This time you're going to look to find what your shadow patterns are. Ask to have your inner truth revealed to you. Whoever you ask, your higher power, your spirit, your guides, whatever it is for you. You can use meditation. If writing works for you, the writing that I talked about last week, where you can just journal, you just sit down and write for 15 minutes, whatever comes into your head, let it flow through your pen. Don't judge it. Don't edit it. Just let the words come and see what insights come to you. You can also use journaling. You can look back on your journals and see where you have patterns and trends. You can go for a walk in nature. This is one of my favorite ways. A walk through the hardwood trees, and I go out and I spend time with nature. I always come out of the woods with brilliant insights. Of course, the best way for me is a motorcycle ride, and not a ride from here into town. It's a ride where, again, I'm out in nature, whether I'm going across the plains or whether I'm riding through the mountains or I'm riding along beside a river. You have to be out for a certain period of time and in away from a lot of distractions, because we have to be safe and keep focused on our ride as well. But this is where all of a sudden, sometimes there's so many ideas and insights that come to me as I, you know, it's like enough already, and I have to prioritize them. Whatever works for you. This is the way. This is a fun exercise. Make it a fun, because you're doing some self-discovery here at looking at, you know, where, what are your shadows and how have they prevented you from living your dream? And then how can you turn them into assets? You want to leverage your shadow. So the lessons of the past are there. You can't change it. And they've been lessons that you've learned. So use those now as mulch. And from those lessons, you're going to use them as fertilizer to build the future that you want. You can transform when you start looking for what those core beliefs are. You can begin to transform those beliefs about who you are and what you're capable of. When we're talking now about living your dream and the things that stop you or the things that have stopped you from living your dream, this has to do with the beliefs about who you are and what you can do. This is your shadow talking. You're going to start to transform those things. Again, it's not a switch. There's nothing magic about this. It takes work and it takes action. Getting out there and doing it is the only way to do it. You do know, however, though, that it is possible. Anything is possible. That dream that you want, that's your inner child, that inner spirit talking, wanting you to do this, to express yourself and the talents and the attributes, the things that you have come here to use and the way that you contribute. You will attract different experiences and different people into your life, because now you're looking at things differently and the shadows have less power over you, and you're taking that energy from the shadows and transforming it into something positive. So it's going to change how you react to familiar patterns. You'll recognize them sooner and say, aha, wait a minute, that's my shadow. That's not really who I am. I'm capable of so much more. And you can believe that anything is possible. Things that we have as strengths can also become shadows for us. So I want you to look back at last week's work, at your strengths, and think about how those can also be used for shadows. I talked about my background as in a Mennonite culture. That culture is very compassionate, very giving, very charitable. giving to others. The shadow side of that, though, it's very insular. It's a strong community. I talked about the Mennonite culture in which I was brought up. That's a very strong culture. There's a lot of strengths in that. There's strength of family. There's strength of community. They're very compassionate, giving, charitable, will bend over backwards and be kind. The shadow side of that is that you can become insular and judgmental of other people who are exclusive to your community, and there's walls that are built between you and other people, and you believe that you are right in what you're doing and they are wrong. And so that's your shadow at work. That gives you a false belief about who you are, and it gives you a false sense of right and wrong. That same energy which creates the strength can also create the shadow. So look at what those are. And likewise, the shadows are strengths. So how can you look at those two things? How can your strengths become shadows and your shadows become strengths for you? That brings us to the end of this module. And you have a lot of things in your toolbox now that you're going to use to build your dream. This is where it all comes together for you. So we've talked in previous sessions about identifying your values, identifying your dream and the current reality. That was all in lesson one. And then last week we began talking about your assets, and we talked about them in terms of the strengths that you have. Now, this week we've talked about your assets in terms of shadows and how we can use those to build our dream as well, and looking at patterns. So these are all assets that you have, tools in your toolbox that you're going to use to build your dream. You may find now that you go back to your dream and find that it has clarified or crystallized, and that you have more insights into it and about what you could do and what is possible and how you could do it. This is the homework for this week. It's shadow work, and it's going to be identifying your shadows. Again, don't be hard on yourself. Look at this. Look at this as a project where you're going back to look at what influences have brought you to where you are, and be objective about it. Don't be hard on yourself. This is who you are, and this has made you into who you are. Take your list of strengths and see how they can be shadows. Take your list of shadows and see how they can become strengths. I'll bet you're going to find some overlap there. And then revisit your dream and see if it's changed at all. Changed in magnitude, changed in scope, whatever. Perhaps you've reconfirmed that, yes, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it. If you can, I will always give you feedback on it. If you can get it to me by Monday at 8 p.m., though, I can give you feedback before the next class and before the next work that you do on your module. Thank you very much.